Go on then, you start, fella.
Hello, boys and girls. Welcome to this quarantine podcast that's coming to you twice a week. What? Twice a week?
Twice a week.
You lucky sods. I'm Tom Shanklin.
Oh. I'm Di Flats.
Obviously.
Hi, Tommy.
Hi, David. How are you?
I'm all right. What are you wearing?
I'm wearing tracksuit bottoms, a active wear t-shirt and a hoodie. And white socks. What are you
white
wearing?
Socks. I've got no socks on. I've got a pair of gym shorts and a gym t-shirt on. Did my Joe Wicks this morning.
How'd you find it?
The kids. I can manage it, put it that way.
Okay. I've not done them yet.
They're quite easy. I mean, your kids can do them. Your kids can literally do them.
Oh, no, the kids do them. I just haven't done it. I watch.
Yeah, I try and join in. I don't want to be...
too competitive.
No, do you know what it is? You're not like me. You know, you are a bit, because you're big, and you've got a knackered knee and stuff, but I don't want to reach 50 in 10 years and be so big and stiff that I can't move. I want to keep moving, so I'm actually...
Okay.
I don't... Because normally, as you know, what I do is like 3 or 4 times a week, I just lift weights and I eat all the food that goes with lifting loads of weights. And I reckon, I don't know if I'm right or not, I reckon I'll be one of the few people to actually lose weight during isolation because I'm not lifting heavy weights all the time and still eat a bit. But I'm quite enjoying just actually moving and played football yesterday and did tackle practice with the kids and walked quite a long way.
When you say you played football, you mean you just kicked the ball in the garden?
No, there's fields near where we live which are completely empty. I say empty.
What, you had a game of football?
Well, the kids and I kicked the ball around.
Oh, right. Sorry.
Oh, no, I didn't play in a game. No.
Yeah.
Local five-a-side league.
But you're claiming that as fitness, though.
It's just movement. I mean, it's movement. So at least I'm jogging a little bit because I reckon I've gone a year without jogging anywhere.
Yeah. Oh, you're claiming movement with playing with your kids. I love it.
No, you're not listening. My exercise routine consists of driving or riding my electric bike into town, walking down the stairs into the gym, lifting weights solidly for an hour 3 or 4 times a week, walking back out and going home. I don't actually get above a walk very often at all.
Okay.
And I've got a really slow dog now, so those walks barely count as even walks. So actually it's quite, even to literally, that's the point. Literally jogging around with the kids is more movement than I normally do.
Speaking of dogs, fella, I've got one that is barking. Now, I don't know which garden it's barking from.
I saw on your Instagram.
It's quite a few houses away. I'm thinking maybe 100 yards, 150 yards, because there's woods behind. I can't quite see it. I went for a walk yesterday to try and find out what house it was barking from. I was going to knock on the door, stand 2 meters away and say, all right, guys, your dog's barking. Can I walk it for you? Hoping they'd say no. But it stopped as soon as I got close. So what can I do, mate? All day, every day. It's barking.
There's nothing. Well,
Bub said a rifle, but I'm not like that.
Yeah, well, I go crossbow quieter. Yeah. I've got one literally across from my back garden. Mm. And doesn't bark all the time. But it barks at 6:30, really every morning, and wakes up me and the kids.
It's like a rooster.
Right? So
cockerel.
I am walking every day past this guy's house, waiting for him to come out. Anyway, I'll tell you what you can do in a sec. I think you got it right. But the other night, it was barking, and I was like, God, look, dog. I mean, it was like 9:30, so I couldn't see it. Went upstairs, and I was going to lean out the window and say, shut up, bloody thing.
Oh,
right,
I love
outside
that.
The kids. Shut up. Anyway.
Video it if you do.
Came up, looked down to see what house it was. And
Anthony Watson.
I don't know how. No. Oh. Sorry, Mr. Lowe. No. I'll tell you, even worse. Oh. Don't know who they are, but it was pitch black, so it was 9:30 at night or so. 9:30, 10:00. The living room lights were on, and the curtains were open, and they were having intimate time.
Oh.
They put the dog out when they are doing that.
That's free TV, free browsing.
Suddenly, mate, I couldn't hear the dog barking anymore.
Do you leave a couple of quid on the doorstep? Little note.
Oh, you're lucky. My ears went all red.
Lucky thing.
Toes started curling.
Yeah. So what can I do? Leave a note through the door?
I'd almost knock on the door. Yeah. Or do that and say, I know it's tough because dogs get frustrated, but your dog is barking all day and we're in our garden all day. I'm very happy to walk your dog for an hour and give it some exercise. I would honestly, I think that's a really good idea.
So it's that or less... Caesar Milan.
You can't do anything if it's not your dog and you're like, you can't get to it.
Mm.
It's so annoying. There are people that just let their dogs bark all day. Like, yeah. Are you kidding me?
I'm thinking, how can you enjoy your day in the house if it's just barking constantly? So
I don't know. Maybe they're out. Maybe they leave it at home and gone out.
Yeah. Well, go out where?
Thing is that we could be being horrible. They could be like NHS key workers and they've got no choice. They've got to work extra hours or whatever. But if you stick a note through and say, I know it's really tough, I'm more than happy.
I barked before this, mate. It's always barking.
Oh, yeah, but then, all right, so we're not being nice. But that passive-aggressive offer to walk it.
That's what I thought. The only thing is, at the moment, right, I don't look the greatest because, you know, when you grew a comedy moustache but didn't raise any money for Movember, but you just did it for awareness.
Now, still raising no money.
Yeah. I'm doing one. I'm doing a isotash, I call it.
Are you?
Yeah. I've just bought, through boredom, mate, I thought, I'm going to grow a quarantine moustache and I'm just going to let it grow. Just going to let it grow and see what it does to me. See if it changes me. It's like changes my features, you know, certainly. Well, hopefully, you know, when we're out of this period, I'm going to walk through the shops. There's going to be a few more looks my way.
This is so weird and listeners might not believe this, but I literally decided yesterday to grow an isotash independently of you.
Well, mine's 4 days old.
Yeah.
But I quite like it. And it's at that period now where it's not too long. It's sort of looks all right. Looks like it's meant to be there. You know, like some people grow a little bit of facial hair. Chris Checo always grew a little tash around the top. Kept it really trim, though. So
I don't trust those, mate.
Yeah. Richie Reese always has a little bit of a...
You shouldn't have facial hair that looks like it's had a lot of work put into it.
Yeah. No, well, this is quite thick at the moment. So I'm liking it, but I just think everything's... I think I've got food around my mouth the whole time when I haven't.
All you need to do with the clippers is just when it starts getting long and dropping down over your lip, just trim it at the top of your lip. That's all you ever need to do.
Okay.
Okay, I've got grey bits in mind now, fella.
I think when we do our next Insta Live, which is going to be Monday, you know, we're going to really see the benefits, aren't we? But I am. I think it's going to look amazing.
Are we only going to do Insta Lives on Mondays?
Yeah. Should we do that? Otherwise...
Yeah, fine.
We're not going to have loads to talk about, are we?
Nah, fine, fella. I've got a lot on anyway, mate.
We're going to look like two dirty New York cops.
Who work outside the law. That is so odd. Well, actually, I say it's odd. There's probably a million blokes decided to grow a beard or a tash during isolation. I literally decided yesterday. And what I always say to people, oh, if I've done it before, my kids love it. And they're like, oh, it's so cute. He's willing to look that odd. He's willing to look that awful, rather, for his kids. My kids hate it. But please take it off. And I say, no, I like it.
Yeah, I'm getting quite attached to mine. Also this week, I've been experimenting with food a bit. Obviously, everyone's a bit bored. I put a photo of a corned beef and pickle sandwich.
Oh, mate.
Now, a real mixed response from it.
You would, because they don't know.
My family think it's dog food, but I grew up with it, and I love the stuff. I love it.
Mate, you grew up with it. You got 70 caps, so it works.
You can't beat corned beef and pickle. Now, there's been... People are saying chili sauce, put chili sauce in, put cheese in it, toast it.
What?
All sounds
nice. Onions, I like the idea of.
Yeah.
I like that idea.
But it was 53% of people, I did a little poll on Instagram, said...
55, I checked.
All right, 55. Yes.
Yeah.
And, you know, it sort of shows you how torn the nation are on corned beef.
It's just put. Do you know what it's doing? It's pulling the UK apart. It's dividing the whole country. It's putting everyone
under like
stress. Love it. Yeah, but that's no surprise. But yeah, great gear that. Tell you what is a great meal if you want to make it for your kids, if you show them corned beef, they probably wouldn't want it. But corned beef and baked beans pie.
Ooh.
Or a corned beef pie with baked beans, rather. So literally a bit of pastry, corned beef, make a little pie. You can make little individual pies. And with baked beans, it is lush, mind.
I like a corned beef pie with short crust pastry. Warm.
Oh, yeah.
That is just, with brown sauce then, warmed up.
Oh, mate.
Speaking of meat, mate, Field and Flower, there's still a deal on Field and Flower. You get £10 off any order over £60. All you've got to do is type in flats10 into the code and you get your £10 off. And that is going until the 31st of March. So
And on that subject, Tommy, why don't I tell you what I did for supper last night?
Yeah, hit me.
I won't hit you. Actually, really simple. It was a couple of ribeyes, which I did last minute, obviously Field and Flower gear, and a pack of sausages, which you base it on the Kamado Joe. I did. I mean, you can't really cock that up. But the best thing I did was some Hasselback sweet potatoes.
Jimmy Floyd Hasselback.
Jimmy Floyd's mate. You know his dad got done for armed robbery. I remember watching Chelsea. Oh, it's so fun. I nearly sent to our mate Tomo. You know Tomo. His mate got everyone called Tomo. I nearly sent him a joke last night just because we were watching Chelsea play once and there this guy was playing. He goes, oh, I forget. I think he was a right back's dad on telly last week, wasn't he? Yeah, he's like one of those new TV vets. Yeah, he's always like saving animals and stuff. Dan Petrescu, pet rescue. It got me so hard. And then he got Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank. Oh, his dad got done for armed robbery.
James Milner put something really good up on Twitter of a full football team using all
full of them. Did he?
Yeah, like a lamp for Lampard. Stuff like that is really good
stuff. It's
really
great good stuff.
David Silva's tempy coin.
So I did some Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank potatoes.
Yeah,
and what you do is, it's really simple, but you just get your barbie going or your oven going, whatever. But you just get some potatoes and you want to chop them, say, the length of a sweet potato. You put like 8 to 10 slices in it.
Okay.
But get two wooden spoons.
Do you cube them?
No. So keep them whole, wash them, keep them whole and long, put them lengthways on a chopping board and then sandwich them in between two wooden spoons. Right, and then chop down onto the wooden spoon. So you're chopping about 7/8 or 3/4 of the way through the whole depth of the potato.
Yeah, like
so you're chopping
bread.
almost to the bottom, all the way along.
Yeah.
So you're almost making it into a fan.
Yeah.
So you chop it all the way along, and then you just put a bit of olive oil on them and stick them on the grill for like an hour, and then right at the end, brush them with a bit of whatever you've got, butter, melted butter with some rosemary and some honey or some maple syrup. Stick that on the grill to just warm that up in a little pot and then just brush them with it for 5 minutes. Take them off, pour the rest of the melted stuff on, and they are, even the kids were absolutely mad for them.
I like
beautiful.
That. Sounds good.
It's really easy too.
That sounds good.
It's really easy.
I mean, the weather's nice now, so it is barbecue time. I've got some piri piri in the freezer.
Nice.
Yeah, I've got loads of stuff. Some piri piri chicken.
I love it, mind.
Burgers, sausages, the lot. And luckily, I've got enough gas. I got a gas bowl at the end of last season. A big one.
Oh, yeah, of
so,
course.
Yeah, without that, I would be knackered.
Do you know what I did in my last house?
What?
Well, a few years ago before I moved. The outdoor kitchen I sorted out, I built and stuff. Didn't build it. Mate Dino built it. But I got so bored of running out of gas. Because I had a wood pellet, I had a Traeger for the wood pellets, I had the Kamado Joe, and I had a gas one.
Nice.
I got so bored of running out of gas and going in and out of the house that I basically had hot and cold water and power and lights run to it, and then I had mains gas.
Yeah.
But we didn't even have mains gas in the house, on the street.
Oh, right.
So you think, how did I get mains gas?
Yeah.
Would you like me to tell you?
Please.
This was in the days before I realised you didn't have to spend more money than you earned every month. But I basically got a mate of mine who's a bar season ticket holder round from the gas board, effectively. And I had two massive tanks put in that were like, I don't know, a zillion litres. But you know the one you get for your barbecue?
Mm-hmm.
I had one that was like 10 times, two that were like 10 times the size of that, or five times the size of that, put in this special enclosure, which we fenced in and painted like duck eggs so it looked trendy. You wouldn't know what it was. And then one of them ran out, and it would automatically switch to the other one, and it would notify the installers that one had run out, and it would be replaced automatically. So they would come down the side of the house. They got written permission.
Yeah.
So you never know that it's ever running out, and they replace it. So I put myself on a contract. And then I moved house and had to cancel that contract. And people that are moving in said, can you send us the details of your gas contract? Because that sounds really convenient for the barbecue and stuff, because they were keen too.
Yeah.
And, well, I nearly got a nosebleed when I realized how much it cost. But did a lot of barbecuing in those days, every day, every single day, so it was worth
it. Yeah, well, I got one of those big bottles which goes under the barbecue. I've also got a small one as well, so when the big one runs out, I can take that down to Cardiff Gas, exchange it, but I've still got the little one then, which I can use in between, you know, to finish it off. So
this is the thing, is this is the stuff people want to hear about. This is real life, fella.
Yeah, yeah.
You been to the shops yet in lockdown?
Yeah, I went this morning. I went early. It was fine. Just got some eggs, some bread, some fruit. It's fresh produce, really. Got loads of stuff like in the freezer, like frozen chips, peas, veg, meat, all that sort of stuff. But yeah, you need stuff to go with it. So you need potatoes, broccoli, carrots, onions, yeah, salad. So that's the only issue, and they go off really quickly. So yeah, I went down this morning, had my gloves on. I also had some hand sanitizer for after, held my breath when I passed someone.
Yep.
And some ice cream and lollies for the kids, because weather's so nice now and the ice cream van doesn't come around. So, and they deserve a treat. You know, they're working hard.
Yep.
Yeah, they're working very hard.
Too right, they are.
Working right now, actually.
Good on them.
Working on their tans in the garden.
It's nice, isn't it?
Yeah. So some big news for the self-employed coming out this evening. It's Thursday the 26th.
Is it coming Chancellor, out,
though? Yeah. Apparently so. Boris said yesterday.
I'm hearing different. I'm hearing
Prime
different.
Minister said yesterday.
Amounts. I'm hearing different. It might be this much, or it might be capped at
it's
that.
It's difficult, though, isn't it? Because it's easy for PAYE, but when you're talking about self-employed, it's, you know, some people dip in and out of being self-employed. Sometimes they're employees. Sometimes they're self-employed. Yeah, so it's it is quite difficult. It's also for people as well that don't declare income as well. You know, a lot of people, I'm presuming, might be like that. You know, they get paid cash for certain jobs, doesn't go on their tax return. Yeah. So yeah, it's a complicated one, but hopefully we'll get some good news for all the self-employed people out there. Big up yourself.
You wouldn't ever pay like a builder or a decorator or a plasterer in cash, would you, in case they didn't declare it?
No.
No, exactly. Same here, never would.
No.
I don't pay taxis in cash just in case they don't declare it, do you?
Not at all. Or only go Uber anyway, mate. So
I do, you know, I'm very keen to see this package, because for the self-employed, it is a relatively precarious time, isn't it?
Hmm.
Precarious time. So, you know, I hope they will deliver something. It's just interesting to see the levels to which they deliver it. But
cross fingers.
Yeah, cross fingers, fella. Cross fingers. Be all right, won't it? We'll be all right. It's got to stay well. Apparently, I read last night that relatively soon, whatever that means, we'll be able to buy tests on Amazon. I mean, they'll all be gone in an hour, so you won't actually be able to get one. Tests on Amazon, pinprick tests to test whether you've got the antibodies in you.
Okay.
So you will effectively, we're still not quite sure about recontraction, are we? But you will effectively know if you've had it or not, I think is the point of these tests. And you'll be able to get them on Amazon.
Okay.
Amazon have bought 3.5 million of them. And I guess the priority there is that there will be however many they need for the NHS and key workers and whatever. And then we can test ourselves, rightly so. But it would actually be interesting to know if you're safe, basically, and if someone says, right, if you have these antibodies, then it means you are not infectious and you are not at risk of being infected or catching it, whatever, contagious, sorry, then it means you can go and see your parents. It means you can move a bit more freely. Yeah, I don't know.
Your parents might not be the same, though.
No, but you can't give it to them.
Yeah.
Okay, so you can go and see your parents without fear of you being the one that gives it to them. So they might still get it, but it wouldn't be from you.
I mean, if anyone's listening to this today, don't forget at 8 o'clock tonight to open your doors and clap for the NHS for what a great job they're doing. I saw on the news that Dyson are making a load of ventilators as well.
Yeah,
they haven't been tested yet, but and also the amount of volunteers that put themselves forward to help the NHS. They've done a they've put a makeshift hospital together, haven't they, in the XL?
Yeah,
which the army are running. So it's incredible what people are doing.
I volunteered. I filled out the volunteer thing for the. I'm trying to become one of the volunteers, but I think obviously so many people, which is a great thing, have applied.
Yeah,
that they can't actually get back to everyone yet. So I did it. Two nights ago and haven't heard anything back yet.
Okay, I would do it. I would do it if I didn't have three kids to look after. That's the only thing.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, though.
Yeah. But I think what you can do is, from what I read, you basically will have an app if they accept you, and then you will be able to just click on and off duty. So if you are free for a few hours, you can just click on duty or available on your app, and they might say, right, can you deliver these groceries to here or this medication to here or whatever.
Oh, right, okay.
I can't do it. I can't do it all day. Like you can't.
I thought it was for the NHS, but that's something different, is it?
No, it's the NHS, but it is NHS, but the grocery thing might be misleading from me. But I think there are certain jobs that we can do.
Yeah, so you can be a delivery man for the NHS, delivering things like masks or taking them from.
Yeah, and you can do all that kind of stuff. And there's also things like, I think you've got to have a certain sort of license or something, but you can be the person that picks someone up at hospital and takes them home and settles them back in at home.
Yeah.
That kind of stuff.
Thing is, though,
it sounds like tea and cake with lots of people, which sounds good.
And I know you're very much like that David Walliams character out of Little Britain, you know, who likes older women and just starts sucking their toes, taking them to the toilet. Do you remember that character?
No,
you don't remember it. Oh, it was amazing. It was David Walliams and he had long hair and glasses.
Oh yeah,
I think
oh
it was
God.
Was it long hair? No, I don't know. No,
no, I don't remember the character. It was absolutely hideous.
Yeah, like the little old lady would say, I need the toilet, can someone help me? He'd put his hand up. Yeah, I'll help you straight away, love.
Christ.
It was so horrible.
Oh Christ.
No, what have I finished? I finished the test on Amazon. Brilliant.
Already? Well,
yeah.
Really good.
Six episodes. I think it's six. The last one was the test last year, the Ashes test last year. Was it last year or the year before? Last year.
You end up rooting for Australia because it's so good.
Yeah, it is like that. But it was, the episode was when, who is it? Ben Stokes takes him apart. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was, it was last year. It was brilliant. Brilliant. But yeah, you are right. Like, we all support England and Wales cricket board, but you do actually, because you get to know the players and, you know, they let their guard down and you get to know their characters and everything. And, you know, they're funny, like all teams really, but you feel you know them when you don't really, but you do end up rooting for them. You really do. Steve Smith, brilliant in it, you know, especially coming back from his cheating scandal and the bloke he is. And the bloke he's developed into now. I really like Tim Payne, the captain. I really like Justin Langer. There's some quality people on there. And they look like all good teams. They look like they really get on as well. So I thought it was up there with one of the best sports documentaries I've watched. But I want to watch the Tiger one. Have you watched the Tiger one? I can't remember what it's called.
I watched about 40 minutes of it so far.
What's it called?
Tiger King.
That's it. Is it good?
I think it might end up being really good. It's just so bizarre. Yeah, they're still sort of setting it up, really.
Okay.
I watched
cool.
it, but I'm just getting to. I tell you what, I watched the first half of last night. Was Dawn Wall. So there's a really famous free climbing documentary called, I think it's Free Zero. Is it?
Yeah, Zero. Is that one where he climbs Yosemite without any rope?
El Cap. Yeah.
Yeah.
This is a different challenge altogether, but it's the same fate. It's still El Cap, but it is really, really good. I'm not overselling it to say
what's
that
called?
I'm Dawn Wall, as in dawn of the dawn in the morning. Dawn Wall.
Yeah. Also, at some stage, everyone's woken up to the crack of dawn.
So people recommend things on Twitter and stuff, and we ask people recommend, and sometimes loads of people recommend things that I've seen, and I'm like, I know everyone's got different tastes, but I'm like, can you not see that this is really poor television compared with really good television?
Oh, you're very opinionated on things like this.
I know. And one program that's got me a little bit like that, but not quite, is I've started watching, everyone, loads of people said, watch Justified on Amazon. It's got 6 or 7 series. I was like, good, that's what I need.
Okay.
Started watching it. The main guy's great, really good actor, great looking bloke, fun character. But I was like, I'm 2 or 3 episodes in, and I'm like, this just doesn't compare to top of the range TV. It just doesn't compare. So how are all these people saying, loads of people said it's the best thing I've ever watched. I reckon 20 people said best series I've seen. I'm like, how on earth can you watch any of the great series and then watch this and think this compares? Equally, I'm probably going to keep watching it because of the situation we're in, and it's quite light, and it's...
But it annoys you, doesn't it, if someone walks out of the room and they've got like a pair of white socks on and they come back in and they've got grey socks on. That's it. Yeah. It's ruined for you then, isn't it?
Yeah.
Or a sound, you see a bit of a sound boom.
Because they doesn't happen in succession because they take care. The odd mistake I'm fine with, but it's like in Commando with Schwarzenegger, where they crash that I think it's a yellow 911, and it's all smashed up, and when they drive off it's immaculate. You're like, come on, how did no one see this? But Justified to me is like, wow, this is really low rent compared with some of the best series, and all these people are saying it's the best thing they've ever seen. I'm like, you haven't lived, guys.
Well, you're gonna get some abuse now. But, you know, live Maybe. By the sword, Although I am die watching by the it, sword.
Which is the main thing.
Yeah. Well, should we talk a little bit about rugby?
I never know about stuff like this, but Premiership Rugby has said we want Premiership Rugby to be the first sport back on TV, and we can play 2 or 3 or 4 games a weekend in the same ground and do all this stuff. And I just, part of me selfishly, I think that would be great because that means I'm working again. However, I do think to myself, it's just so much more important stuff to be thinking about other than when can we get our sport, when can we get our game back on the telly and start making money again and keeping our sponsors happy again. I just think it feels a fraction as important as everything else that's happening. So I sort of think, why does a rugby governance organisation, why does anyone need to make that statement and say we're going to be first? It's like, it's not a race back. We all want it to come back, everybody.
Yeah. But also, you want to work. You know, you're not part of a big governing body like that. But I bet you can't wait to get back. You know, working again.
No, I can't. But I don't want to accelerate my. I don't want to accelerate back into work quicker than I want the country to be okay and everyone not to die.
No, I think what they're saying is, as soon as it's legally possible, you know, they want to get things up and running straight away. You know, not have, you know, as soon as it's deemed fit to play rugby by the government, then, you know, they want to make sure that they've got everything in place. You know, they've got things lined up, plan A, plan B. So I wouldn't say it's like
all businesses do, but this was a statement out of nothing. Yeah. This was a statement out of nowhere that says we want to be first back, and it's like, well, I think I want you to too, in a way, but it's like, why is that important at the moment? It's kind of not really.
I suppose it's just giving people some hope, some light at the end of the tunnel to sort of say, look, this isn't forever. You know, when this does blow over, we want to get back running as soon as we can, you know, to get sport back to people. Because, mate, I didn't realise how much I missed sport at all. It turned on Sky Sports, absolutely nothing. No live sport at all. I can't remember that ever. It hasn't happened ever. You know, no golf, no football. Anything, you know, I'd watch anything. Tennis, cricket, all gone. So we're going to do a little bit about rugby on this. Eddie Jones recently, I think today, was asked to take a 20% pay cut or 25% pay cut. I'm sure he will.
Down to 400 bags a year, poor bloke.
But we're going to talk about just some of our previous experiences in rugby. So if we look at coaches, Flats, we've been coached by quite a few different coaches. Who would you say, in your opinion, would be the best coach that you've played under? Who had the most impact on your career?
Oh, good one. I I can name more than one, can't I?
Yeah, you can. But give us reasons.
Michael Foley at Bath was just exceptional in terms of detail, just exceptionally bright, well-researched, brilliant technical coach. Mark Bakewell, Ford's coach, was outstanding when he was with us at Bath, working in conjunction with Steve Borthwick and Gruy and everyone. He was just brilliant. He had a brilliant mixture of loving the boys, being a straight shooter with the boys. Boys adored him, wanted to work for him. When we lost games, one of the first things we spoke about was how apologising to Bakes for letting him down, and boys would have died for him. And that is something that is quite rare in the pro game. I think we would absolutely have laid in the road for Bakes, and he was a brilliant technical coach as well. I found Steve Meehan. He left Bath in not particularly pleasant circumstance, in a particularly pleasant way, but from memory. But I found him a really good attacking coach. I didn't need much attacking coaching because I couldn't attack. I didn't do any attack, but he would just little things. He would say, "Why don't you just try standing here? Why don't you try taking the ball like this?
Yeah,
you can't do that stuff that Matt Stevens can do. Why don't you try doing this? And that can be your little thing." And
but it also, really it's worked. Not. It's not. You know, you still want to make yourself available because people don't know that. All they see in front is body. Yeah. So you've got to get yourself, you know, as a genuine threat. You're probably not going to get it, but, you know, you've got to act as a decoy if you're not getting it.
Yeah, exactly. But also it'd be like, right, coming around the corner, there are times when I can develop a bit of momentum coming around the corner.
Yeah.
But I'm just not very fast. I don't have a lot of footwork. So it's like, if there is this gap, you need to be bolting at this gap here. So all you need to do is bolt there, bolt there, bolt there, and expect the ball. If the gap is there, run into it. If it's not, just drop it off on your hip, left or right, because I'm going to make sure someone else is there. Then he goes to the other guy and say, every time off this play and this play, you make sure you're on Flats's hip.
Yeah.
And I did it with Matt Stevens, and it literally worked time and time again, and Anthony Peronisi as well. It worked. It must have worked 20 times in one season. Those little tweaks were so clever and so well communicated. I really appreciate it. And Brad Davis, who's London Irish defence coach now,
was
a brilliant coach for us.
He was the Ospreys excellent, for a bit
excellent.
As well.
Yeah, he was excellent. He's a brilliant guy and really good. So, yeah, they're the different coaches in different positions. And remember Bob Crooks at Sarries?
Yes.
Crooksy was sort of Academy's 21s coach. And then when someone got sacked or whatever or left, he stepped up to being first team forwards coach. He did half a season or whatever it was, and then they replaced him. They brought someone in. I was always really disappointed they replaced Crooksy because I thought he was really, really good, really good communicator.
He was good.
How about you?
Same as you, really. There's a few. You can't sort of put your finger on, you can't just name one because it's about different parts of your career. When I first joined Saracens, which was a year after you, you know, Francois Pina, who was coach, you know, I hadn't seen anything like that before. You know, the professionalism of that team, how hard we trained, how hard we worked, and that had a massive impact on me physically. So I'd certainly have to say him, because it was my first real professional team, apart from London Welsh, you know, where, you know, you train Tuesdays, Thursdays. This was every day, all day. And it took me by surprise, really, about how hard teams actually train. And, you know, we're quite new to professional rugby then. So it was a great eye-opener into it. But as you go along then, I think Scott Johnson was just brilliant for Wales, brilliant for me, teaching you really about game management, about being a genuine threat with the ball, without the ball. So, you know, even if you are going to be a decoy, you run that decoy line like you're going to get it. You know, everyone's an option. So he sort of taught us about how to move up as a line at the same time as well, so that no one was getting left behind. So that literally when the ball was coming out the back of a scrum or a line out, you know, there was five people in that line, in that attacking line, and all could get the ball.
All in motion.
Yeah, all in motion. So, you know, what that does to the defence then is that they're looking, thinking, because sometimes when you're defending, you can really pinpoint who's going to get it. It's that obvious. But to try and make it not so obvious, you've all got to be running at the same time and the same depth. I thought he was just brilliant for my
career. It's interesting that. Because I remember a couple of Aussie guys I know, Aussie coaches.
Yeah.
And I said, this guy, because he was on the touchline somewhere. And I said, look at the hair on him. He's like Gerard Depardieu. And they both turned to me and said, mate, the bloke's a myth. I won't say the word. He's a myth. He doesn't do anything. What does he actually do? And then I remember you mentioning him before to me, and he's reminded me now that actually the people who were coached by him
Yeah.
Said he was brilliant.
Yeah, he was.
He just doesn't obviously need to publicise himself too much.
We did so many just two-on-ones, 3v2s, working on quick hands, just really developed our skill level massively. And Steve Hansen was also great because Steve Hansen was coach of Wales. Scott Johnson was number two, but Scott Johnson stayed a little bit longer. Dai Young, for my time at Cardiff, much what you're saying. Just boys loved him. Brilliant bloke. Really good coach. Huge amount of respect for him. And, you know, you do anything for him. And you're right, though, when you say you come off the field and you've lost, you're more worried about letting Die down than your teammates. That's how much, you know, the boys thought of
rare
him.
Rare, so, yeah. Especially in the pro game, it's so rare, isn't
love
it?
Love him, and really funny bloke as well. You know, when you take him a little bit away from rugby and when he relaxes, when it's not like in a team meeting, he's funny in team meetings, but when it's a little bit away from that, mate, not many funnier blokes, I tell you now.
Oh, that's good.
Add on, and massive calves as well, so you'd like
no
him.
Point in being that big if you're not funny.
No, exactly.
Ask Gareth Chilcott.
Exactly. And also then, you've got to look at Warren Gatland. Just what he did for Wales through his period for 12 years, just simplified everything, made Wales super professional, made the game simple for Wales. You know, we were lucky that we had the likes of Jamie Roberts. We had big ball carriers to play the way he wanted to play because, you know, if you get a team full of Shane Williamses, there's no way you can play a physical game, is there? You know, you need big, solid ball carriers. You're mutes, so, you know, it certainly worked for him. So yeah, they are the best. Who would you say you weren't coached by but would have enjoyed to be coached by?
I think I would have enjoyed Warren Gatland just because of what I know of him as a bloke and what everyone says. So I think I really would have enjoyed that.
You're a suit of the game plan as well because it was simple. Quite simple. It suited everyone. You know, you try and make rugby as simple as possible. You don't want to overcomplicate things.
Equally, like we had Brian Ashton for a year or so at Bath, and he basically said to us, right, Flats, what are your strengths in attack? I said, mate, I'm a good decoy. You don't want to use me, mate. I'm terrible. And he's like, nah, we're not doing that. You're running first carrier off the back of lineouts. You're doing this. You're going to learn to offload. You're going to learn. And it completely changed our game. So some coaches are great because they teach you to do things you didn't think you could do. But I was coached by him. It's just someone I forgot. But Gatland, and who else was I thinking of? Well, obviously, Sean Edwards. Everyone would love that. But I think I would have quite liked to be coached by Richard Cockerell. And after I'd had 3 years at Bath, Leicester offered a few of the Bath pack contracts, offered us three-year deals. And we were going to get a minibus up there at one point. I think there was five or six of us they were talking to at the same time. We all stayed. But I remember thinking, well, I want to win something with Bath, and that would mean more to me than winning everything with Leicester, to be honest, because Bath was my club and I was happy to stay. But I did look back and think, well, his regime of it is what it is, just fucking get on with it, that would quite suit me, that. I quite like that. And also, I quite like a lot of contact in training. I always I preferred that to just running in skills because I wasn't very good at running in skills. So I was better at contacts. I preferred really physical teams. So when you went with England or England A or whatever and you went on trips, they always did loads of contact in the week and the lads hated it. I loved it because I was like, I'm much more comfortable here.
That's what I'm used to.
You know,
it's like home
life. Those guys. What about you? Who didn't coach you that you would have liked to be coached by?
Well, looking now, I think I'd love to be coached by Scott Robertson from the Crusaders.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. The way they play, his approach to the game, it's really attack. I prefer coaches, I think, that want to go all out attack, that want to play wide, sort of wide, middle, wide, not so much coming back on cuts, switches, keeping it tight. I'd much rather play a more expansive game. He's one I look at now and I think, you know, it would have been great. And also, he breakdances, so got that in common.
Yeah. It's a win, isn't it?
Yeah. Now, also, looking at it now you've stepped away from rugby, where you get to see more rugby, you get to see more different rugby from different countries and everything. Brad Moore, who's at the Scarlets.
Yeah.
Boys speak really highly of him. He's going to the All Blacks next season. Yeah. And, you know, his philosophy on the game is very much like Scott Robinson. And also, the coach now of Exeter. Who is it? I've gone blank.
Ali Heifer.
No. Rob Baxter. Yeah,
wouldn't that be great? Yeah.
Yeah, I just think those three guys just seem to have got the culture right. You know, they seem to enjoy themselves off the field. They play really well. They all play quite similar on the field. And, you know, that's the type of game I'd want to play.
Yeah.
You know, high pace. I like that. Keep the ball in play. You know, back in your skills, back in your fitness. So,
yeah. Fitness. Mm. Who's the fittest bloke you ever played with?
There's quite a lot of fit players. Gethin Jenkins was fit.
You haven't thought of the one. We've both played with
Tony
the
Rocks.
Guy in, yeah.
Tony Rocks, yeah. Loved run. I tell you who actually got a start for Wales because of his fitness was Tom Pridey.
Oh yeah.
Tom Pridey. He was playing at the Ospreys at the time. Or the Ospreys or Scarlets, I can't remember, but he was a 15 or a wing. And it was 2010, Six Nations, and Italy was the last game. Anyway, Wales been pretty poor all the way through. And it was the last training session on a Wednesday, so sort of the last big training session, last sort of fitness, contact, that sort of one. And every time we dropped the ball, we had to do, I think they were called Henke Mullers, where you had to basically run diagonally across the pitch, round the cone, width, then diagonally back, then width. Every time we dropped the ball, we had to do it. And he was just nailing those runs. Like, absolutely. He was like Bambi, mate. He was skipping along the grass, just killing everybody. He was only 18 years old. And impressed Warren Gatland that much that they put him in the team against Italy.
How'd it go? Weekend.
Yeah, he did all right. We won.
I wouldn't.
Yeah.
Tony Rock, I remember this, and somebody might tweet us and tell us it's rubbish now or it's been surpassed. I remember him doing a 9 minute, 15 second 3K.
Wow.
I remember him doing it. And
3Ks
we'd all got into him, weren't they? I remember getting into him. We'd all said that Pat Sarnason did a 9:30, which was a lie. Pat was very fit, I'm sure. But we said, Pat did a 9:30 the other day, 3K. And Rocky was like, 9:30? God, that's quick. God, that's really quick. That's a 3 minute 10K. Oh, God, that's tough. You know, Rocky hammered it. And I remember him doing the 3K. Then in the afternoon, we did weights and we did all this stuff. And then the afternoon, there was optional speed endurance. Rocky was back at the track with his spikes on doing speed endurance. We're like, mate, chill out. Unbelievable.
You know, like,
played
with 3Ks.
Tons of games for England, didn't he? Sevens.
Yeah. You know, with 3Ks, you can't get everyone on the track at the same time, so you split it. You'd always want to go in the first group because there's nothing worse than watching a friend or a teammate in pain knowing that that's to come. So if you get the option, always go first. And you'd go first. I think my best was something like 11:20 maybe. I was never good at 3K. I wasn't really good at fitness, to be honest. But then I used to sit back and absolutely love watching, like, Gareth Cooper, Michael Owen.
It was all fast twitch, though, Cooper.
All fast twitch. Just him and Michael Owen would be running together. They'd have about four kicks in their 3K. It was just brilliant. Then they'd save it for the last sprint just to knock a couple of seconds off their time. It's horrible, though, 3K. I don't think the boys do them anymore. But
no, they don't. Thank God. They're irrelevant. They're stupid.
Yeah.
But, remember someone telling me that Victor Ubogu got 16 minutes 45 or something, and he's like, right, that's the time to beat, because Victor was like ripped when he had a six-pack. Remember I did it, and I was terrible at it because, you know, crap at running, asthma, rubbish. And no lungs. So I was like, right, I'll do it. And I did it in like 13:40 or 13 and a half or something like that. And that wasn't brilliant. I was like, oh my God, that is over 3 minutes faster than Victor Ubogu. That's almost a lap. I was like, that's unbelievable. That's way more than a lap. I was like, oh my God, he plays for England. And then you're like, I could play for England. You play against him and you watch him run and you're like, no, he is actually a superior athlete.
What about, what would be your favourite weight exercise?
Well,
like, if you're going to the gym when you were playing, what would be like one of the first things you go to? Give us an upper body and a lower body or a full body.
Upper body bench press.
Yeah.
Love that. So what I was good at, because I was strong with short levers, was bench press and pull-ups. So yep. not as good as you at pull-ups. But,
yeah, but you're not pulling up 100 kg though, are you?
No, we did a test on England tour once, 2004 it was, and I remember it was like, right, you've got to warm up and you've got to do a few sets of pull-ups, like straight arm pull-ups with a pause at the bottom. And you've got to do arms. My arms don't go straight anymore, but my elbow's knackered. But when my arms could go straight, you have to sit at the bottom for a second and you go. And I remember doing 27 straight arm pull-ups and I was 120, wow. 125 kilos, which was so that I was good at those. I couldn't do over grip though because of my shoulders. So I did under grip or neutral grip because I can't do the harder ones.
Women's. Do you do the harder ones on your knees as well, do you?
Yeah, no, I can't. Yeah, but my arms don't rotate out like yours do. So yeah. I can't do those. Okay. Bench press I was good at because I've got a very deep rib cage and short arms. So it's not very far for it to travel.
I'm going bench as well for upper body. What about lower body or full body?
Didn't do any lower body weights when I played rugby, which is an odd thing to say, even though I was a prop. Didn't do any squats.
Deadlift? No squats?
I did a bit of deadlift.
Okay. Cleans?
Nope. Arms, my wrists and elbows don't work, so I can't. You know the bar sits across your shoulders?
Yeah.
Mine sits like fully 4 or 5 inches above my shoulders. I can't sit it there at all. Okay. My arms just can't go there.
I quite like power cleans, but I couldn't go very heavy. Like probably 100 or maybe 105 was like the maximum I could lift. I was too worried about my back, really.
Yeah.
But great exercise for your whole body.
Yeah. Bench. If you can do bench, pull up, deadlift, squats, you are...
Professional rugby player. Well done.
If you can do squats and pull ups, you're winning.
Yeah.
You're all right.
So we'll finish on best, worst roommate.
Hang on. Who's the strongest bloke you ever played with?
Who'd be the strongest?
I saw Josh Navidi's stats on the wall a couple of years ago at the Blues training ground. He's a strong mute mind.
Jake Ball is a beast, apparently. I've not played with him, but he is a beast. Who would be the strongest? I'd probably go again, Gethin Jenkins.
Yeah.
Yeah.
His stats are on the wall too. Also a very strong bloke.
Yeah. And you?
Pete Short.
Yeah.
Second row.
Okay. Right. So last one now. Best and worst roommates.
Oh.
Or just give us the best.
Well, worst, Mark Regan. Let's move on.
Yeah.
Best roommate, Martin Wood.
Why?
As soon as you get in the room, when you've been in there 3 minutes, you've got a cup of tea, you've got complimentary biscuits, you've got... I remember once he undid my trainers, took my trainers and my socks off. He said, come on, let's get you a cup of tea. And then he'd go through all the channels, let you know what channels you got. He did all the admin, all the room admin. Oh. And he was constantly funny. Martin Wood is a constantly funny human being.
You want that, don't you? You want to be entertained.
Yeah, like when we used to get room service, when you and I roomed together and you'd always be accident pretending to be asleep but naked when they walked in on top of your sheets. You get arrested now.
I tell you, I look back now and I think we had a great time rooming together. Was Matthew Reese. Now, I obviously knew him well, but you don't really get to know someone until you spend all day with him and sleep with him and, you know, your little chats before you go to bed. But I might have said this one before, but we were in South Africa touring and we were rooming together. And it was when Mario Kart was on the Nintendo DS. So on the back of the bus, all the boys were playing. You could hook the games up via Bluetooth and you could all play against each other. Anyway, we were rooming next door to Stephen Jones. And every night we'd just play Mario Kart, all three of us. And it was great fun. And then he got me into toasted sandwiches and milkshakes. And we'd get that delivered to the room. And then we'd leave the tray outside Stephen Jones's room. And he ended up getting in a lot of trouble from Andrew Hoare, our strength and conditioning coach, because we weren't dull. You know, you're not going to leave a tray with a remnants of a milkshake and crusts and cheese of a toasty outside your own door, are you? And every time we'd just have a little giggle as we're putting outside his door. It'd be like SAS. We'd open the door, quickly out, quickly in, close the door really quietly so it wouldn't slam, and then job done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Genius. Too easy.
Exactly. All right, well... There we are.
Hey, well done, boy.
We're going to be back on Instagram Live on Monday. So, I don't know, get some questions in, join us.
1 o'clock Monday, isn't it?
Yeah, 1 o'clock. Maybe we'll do 12:30 Monday.
Maybe we'll do 12:30, Tom.
Yeah, it's probably a little bit easier. Yeah. All right kid. Well, look after yourself, okay? Stay out of trouble.
Stay safe. Keep washing your hands, boy.
Keep up those fitness sessions / Having to play in the garden with your kids.
Keep it up, he's playing football. Oh, yeah, I saw when I was at the park yesterday, someone shouted, "Oi, your time's up, time to go, get off our field." And it was Anthony Watson and Jeff Williams, too. Well, Jeff's left Bath Rugby now, but he was there for a long time, and Ant Watson. And they were coming out to do some training on the field. They had a load of balls with them and a load of kit. And, mate, boys do training differently now. Really long, leisurely warm-up. Really took their time. They both looked immaculate. They had a portable stereo with hip-hop blaring on this, backfield. And they were like, the way they move, mate, the way Anthony Watson moves is just, it is a beautiful thing.
I agree.
It is a beautiful thing. And he's such a nice man. We kept our distance, but yeah. What a specimen. Jeffy too, but Ant Watson, butcher.
Another level.
Yeah.
There we are. All right.
Cheers, boy. Well done, fella. Ta-ra.
Bye, everyone.